When Peru won its freedom from Spain in 1824, Simón Bolívar, who was the general who led the liberating forces, called a convention in order to draft a constitution for the new country. After the convention, a delegation went to the general and asked him if he would be willing to be the first president of the country. He was grateful for their offer, but he respectfully declined. But they still wanted to show their appreciation to him, and so they gave him 1,000,000 pesos, which was a lot of money in that day, incredible amount. He accepted the gift, and then he went on to ask them how many slaves that there were in Peru. He was told that there were 3,000 slaves, and that each able-bodied man sold for about 350 pesos. Bolivar replied, "I will add whatever is necessary to this 1,000,000 pesos, and I will buy all of the slaves in Peru, and I will set them free. It makes no sense to free a nation unless all of its citizens enjoy freedom as well." What an incredible true story. What an incredible thing for a general to do. And what an incredible insight on his part, that in order for a nation to truly be free, all of its citizens need to enjoy the same level of freedom. I don't know if you realized it or not, but the scriptures talk about freedom a lot as well. And one of the realities for you and me that's shared in 1 Corinthians is that we have been purchased as well with a price. It was much more than 350 pesos, though. The cost of your freedom and my freedom was the life of Jesus Christ. And that's part of the reason why you and I gather here every week, whether we consciously are aware of it or not, is because someone who we have not really met face to face loved us enough and cared for us enough that he was willing to sacrifice his life for us. You know, so often people have asked me, you know, Joe or Father Joe, depending on whether I was ordained at the time or not, do you think that Jesus would have given up his life if it was only for me? And I don't even have to think about the answer to that question because I know deep down in my heart, if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have given up his life only for you, that your life might have been restored to the Father and that you would be able to come back to home, back home to him and to heaven, to live in love and holiness and to know a truth that sets you free. And so one of the realities that's important for you and I to realize is that as we celebrate this wonderful story about General Bolivar and the reality and his insight of liberating all of the slaves in Peru at the beginning of that country's freedom, Jesus Christ has done the same for you and me and all of humanity throughout time through his sacrifice, that we might be free in him totally and completely through his sacrifice on our behalf. Today in our second lesson in Colossians, which I invite you to turn with me to in your bulletins, we also read about the reality of the freedom that we have received in Christ and how deep that it goes. We have been bought with a price that we might enjoy a life that is free and full of the love of Christ and redeeming in every sense of the word. In Colossians 3, we read, "We are one in Christ. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all." And again, one of the things I would share with all of you today as the Lord's beloved is that the reality of our redemption in Christ transforms everything that you and I will ever do for the rest of our lives. And the most important thing it transforms at the very beginning is our identity. And if you will, the primary tribe that you and I belong to. The primary group that you and I belong to is Christ. We are in Christ, and because of that, Christ pervades all of our being, and it pervades the being of his body as well. Christ is the dominant and overarching force. You know, as I did some study in preparation for our time together today, I looked at the Cambridge Bible, which shares Gentile or Jew, barbarian, which would have been non-Greek or non-Roman tribes, Scythians, which would have been the wildest tribes known for their brutality and terror. Regardless of what group was described in this particular letter by Paul to the Colossians, all of them were in Christ. Such was the union of every believer with him, that each was to the other an embodiment of his presence and life. In this respect, all differences, national, ritual, educational, and social, were assimilated into the eyes of faith and love. Facts of race, history, and status were not contradicted, but overruled and transfigured into mirror-veering phases of a central union in the Lord who shone equally through all his members. There's a lot in just those two or three sentences. And basically what this was speaking to me was the reality that be you black or white or brown or red, be you rich or poor, be you Jew or Gentile, be you male or female, be you young or old, be you Chinese or American or African or whatever your nationality might be, that each one of those differences are unique and to be celebrated. Each one of them have their strengths and their challenges. But at the end of the day, for the body of Jesus Christ, in the midst of the diversity that we celebrate, the reality for you and me is that ultimately we are one in Jesus Christ. It is he that brings us our oneness. Now, let me say something else about this that's really important, I think, and that is God the Father celebrates our uniqueness. God celebrates our diversity. He likes that we're all different. He likes that one kind of is maybe a little bit more introverted and one's a little bit more extroverted. He likes it that we've all had different experiences. He loves it that we all have varying gifts because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. God has so set up his body that guess what? We all need each other. We're all created to be in relationship to one another. The Lord set up his body so that it wouldn't be the Lone Ranger and Tonto, but that it would be the Lone Ranger and Tonto and everybody else in the body of Christ. It's about everybody, unity in the midst of diversity, and the Lord celebrates that. God the Father designed it that way and embraces that very deeply and very powerfully and wonderfully. Jesus makes us one. He makes us one. And as much as we might be different, as much as we might use our differences as a reason to not associate with certain people who are too different from us or whatever, that if we are one in Jesus, if we call Jesus our Lord and Savior, his overarching lordship and redemption of our lives, his overarching presence and design for us blesses us that we might be able to walk in a love toward one another that celebrates our differences. Learn from a marriage that survives. When a couple first gets married, I guarantee you, love is blind. They do not know, they cannot know what they're getting into. Because love is blind. It is absolutely blind. If it could see, there'd be a lot less marriages. Let me just put it that way. After they've been married a while and the rose-colored glasses begin to come off, you wake up on one morning and you say, oh my gosh, what did I do? I didn't see that before. I didn't realize that's what they were about. I didn't know they would react to this situation this way and all that kind of stuff. And you realize about the differences that you really have. And at that point comes the decision about whether you're going to really honor your vows or not, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and for all that other stuff. And it is, are your differences going to destroy you Or are you going to laugh with one another, laugh at each other in the midst of your differences? See, and that's the difference. And through the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus, we can begin to celebrate our differences and our diversity with one another rather than seeking to destroy each other. And it's very important that you and I hear that, that Jesus makes us one, that in the midst of our diversity, he can bring about a unity, that as the world looks at that group of people called the church and they see how different everybody is and they know how wacky everybody is in that group and they see how they love one another, the only explanation that will come up for them is that this Jesus must be for real. What do they have that I don't have? Why is it that they're walking with one another and forgiving one another and being merciful to one another and actually staying together when we're breaking apart like all hell's breaking loose? It's because of Jesus. It's because of the Holy Spirit. Believe me, if it was up to you and me, we would have destroyed the church a long time ago. It would have been over. But we're still together, and I believe, for me, one of the greatest witnesses that Jesus is alive is that the church is still here. And so as you and I walk in that oneness of Christ and are open to the unity that he uniquely brings through the power of his Holy Spirit, Jesus transforms us. Jesus touches us. Jesus helps us to walk in his love and his mercy. And you read about a lot of these virtues in the second lesson in Colossians. Again, look at that with me. The Holy Spirit virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, the peace of Christ, thankfulness, the word of Christ, wisdom, songs of psalms, hymns and spirituals, gratitude in our hearts toward God are all signs to the world of our freedom in Christ. These are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are all things that the Spirit of God wants to give to us freely and completely. And as you and I walk in them and struggle into them and are broken into them and begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in them and begin to share gifts of miracles and healings and all that God would do through us, the world will look at us and we'll begin to look at one another and say, oh my Lord, look what he's doing in our lives. That's not me. I don't forgive like that. No, you don't. I don't have mercy like that. No, that wasn't you. That was the Holy Spirit through you, by the grace of God, being able to have mercy and to move on. And those are all signs to us and to the world as well of our freedom in Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord came to set us free. He came to set us free from our sin. And you know, each one of us in our own lives have been in bondage to maybe a particular sin that we really wanted to be freed from. And if any of you have tasted moments or maybe are freed from that particular sin in your life, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, talk to somebody who maybe has struggled with addiction, whether it be alcohol or drugs or sex or gambling or whatever it is, and they begin to experience freedom in their lives. They're like a whole new person. You're no longer talking to a drunk, you're talking to John. How awesome is that? They're like a new creation. And it's the same with you and me. Christ came to set us free and fill us with joy and fill us with hope and fill us with excitement and love. And if you're not feeling it, if you're not passionate about it, you came to the right place. Came to meet Jesus today. You and I came to open our hearts even more deeply to him at this place, at this altar, to be open more fully to his Holy Spirit. Don't let it be just talking about the things of God. Don't let it be about religion. Let it be about your relationship. Let it be a living spirituality. Let it be transforming to your life and the life of your family. If God is not breaking out all around you, there is something wrong. God should be breaking out in your life each and every moment of the day. You should have it each day in your life. You could say, boy, God was moving there. God was moving in my life. God was answering prayer. God showed up, and I didn't even expect him to show up. Hello. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. But come today and say, Jesus, I want to know more deeply your freedom in my life. I want to know you. I want to know your love. I want to know what this crazy priest is talking about. I want to know about freedom. I want to know about compassion. I want to be able to have mercy on this person who keeps dogging my mind. I hate him to the depth of my being, but I want to be free from that now. Oh, you've come to the right place today. But you need to make that step toward him. It is for freedom that Christ has set you and me free. I believe to the depth of my heart, not only as an American, but as a human being, that God created humanity to be free. And you know the people that know that the most are the people that aren't. Anybody that has been imprisoned, anybody that has been among a group of people that are controlling or oppressive to them in any way, they know what it's like not to be free. Or maybe they're struggling with their own addiction or their sin. Those are the people who can taste freedom on the tip of their tongue and want it more than anything else, and yet it is just outside of their reach. But God created humanity to be free and to be loved. That's why it keeps burning in your heart and in my heart and in hearts throughout this world, because that's who God created us to be. Hallelujah. I say thank God. God did not create me or you to be a prisoner. God created us to be free and living and choosing human beings. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love that. I love that. I love that. There was a man a while ago by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King who spoke about a dream of freedom one day. All of you have heard his name. But I don't know if you knew this about his speech. Again, as I was preparing for this time together, I learned something about this speech that I'd never known before that was amazing to me. He had a prepared speech, which wasn't surprising to me, on that day in Washington. But as he was going through his prepared speech, there was somebody in the crowd up front who had done a lot of the marches with him, and she yelled out to Martin about halfway through his speech, "Martin, tell them about the dream." That's what she said. "Martin, tell them about the dream." And that's when he began to preach. It wasn't part of a speech. But God, the Holy Spirit, began to touch him through that woman that said to him, "Martin, remember the dream." And he began to preach and share a part of his speech that to this day inspires all of us. He shared, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado to the curvaceous slopes of California. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia to Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring, that one day all of God's people might be able to say in unison, 'Free at last.'" What marvelous, incredible words that he spoke. They were melodious. It was like a psalm that was being sung, wasn't it? It was a song of freedom. It was an electric, anointed, magical moment that all of us to this moment even identify at this point with what occurred in that moment. It's because our brother Martin was speaking to the human heart about freedom and about freedom ringing for everybody at that time, particularly for African Americans, but as a message for us all in this moment. And so, beloved of God, as we gather here on this day, I say before each one of us, let freedom ring. Let it ring to the depths of our being and to the depths of every other human being. May you and I be open to the transforming love of Jesus Christ and nothing less. Whoever you are, wherever you are right now, wherever your life is, today for you and I can be a deeper entering into the freedom and the love and the mercy and the plan and the joy of God. I've been saying this to you from the beginning of this year, and I will continue to say it to everybody who will listen to me. You have a choice. And in this present darkness that continues to grow throughout our world, your choice, beloved, is incredibly important. God is looking for a people through whom his light will brightly shine. God is looking for you and me to be a witness to his love and his mercy and his freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. God is looking for witnesses who are smiling from the depth of their heart because of the freedom that they're embracing and experiencing through the power of the Holy Spirit. They're so excited, they can't help but tell people about the Jesus that has set them free. Oh, let freedom ring. Let it ring. Let it ring loud so everybody will hear it, especially from the depth of your life, from the depth of you. May people see you and say, oh my gosh, what happened to you? You're not the same person. What happened to you? And that will be your open door. That will be your opportunity to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. He's rung the bell of my heart, and freedom is ringing like never before. Love is coming into me like never before. Let me tell you about the Jesus who sets people free.